This is the first of an intended series of talks on Damodar Lila. Well known among the devotees of Krishna, Damodar refers to Krishna in his infancy, when he was tied up by a rope or ropes by his mother Yashoda. Dama means that which restrains, ropes, and udara means the belly. Mother Yashoda, being very agitated by her naughty boy Krishna, bound him around the belly with a rope, and thus Krishna got the name Damodar. That's also referring, less well known, much less well known, is that the gopis also means the girlfriends of Krishna. They also, when Krishna's older, sometimes tie him up with a rope. So that way also he can be called Damodar, especially during the month of Kartik, which is known as the month of Damodar. The devotees of Krishna, they like to remember this pastime and worship him throughout the month by offering special lamps to Krishna. Either a special deity is made of Krishna being tied by Yashoda, or the picture is there, and we sing the Damodar Ashtakam. To explain the Damodar Ashtakam is another whole series of talks. I won't get into that now. But we can just remember some points that Srila Prabhupada brings out in his Nectar of Devotion discussing Damodar. He brings out the point that during the Damodar Ashtakam, Damodar, Krishna, is prayed to that he is the Lord of all, the giver of all benedictions, and that many demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva also give benedictions to their devotees. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Ravana was given boons by Lord Shiva and Hiranyakashipu by Lord Brahma, but that even great demigods who give boons, they are dependent upon Krishna being empowering them to give those boons. And therefore, Krishna is addressed as the Lord of all benefactors. I'm in Velor, Tamil Nadu, not very far from Kanchipuram, where the most famous deity among the many deities of Vishnu is Varadaraja, the best of all givers of benedictions. So Srila Prabhupada continues in the Nectar of Devotion, I'm paraphrasing, that Krishna can offer anything to the devotees, anything that they want, but the devotees pray that we don't want liberation from you or any material facility. I only want from you this boon, that I may always think of you in the form of Damodar. You're so beautiful and attractive that my mind doesn't want anything but to always remember this beautiful, wonderful form of Damodar. And in that same prayer, Damodar Ashtakam, it's prayed, Satyavrata Muni prays, oh, my dear Lord Damodar, once when you were playing as a very naughty boy in your father's house, Nanda Maharaj's house, you broke the container containing yogurt. And because of this, Mother Yashoda, being angry with you, tied you with a rope to the household grinding mortar. At that time, you delivered the two sons of Kuvera, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who were staying there in the form of two Arjuna trees in the yard of Nanda Maharaj. So my request, Satyavrata Muni praise, is that by your merciful pastimes, you may similarly deliver me. The story behind all this is that there were two sons of Kuvera, who's the treasurer of the demigods, and they were puffed up. arrogant, proud on account of the opulence of their father, and in the heavenly planets they were enjoying themselves in waters, in some waters with some beautiful young girls, and they were all naked. And at that time the great Saint Narad Muni was passing by, and the girls, seeing him, covered themselves up. They had enough sense to cover them. They're engaging in lustful affairs, and the girls had enough sense to cover themselves up when a great sadhu came past. But the young men, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, were so intoxicated both by liquor and a sense of pride that they didn't even bother to cover themselves in the presence of such a great saint. So Narad Muni, thinking it's useless to give good instructions to such foolish people, thought how to benefit them. And therefore, to benefit them, he became angry and cursed them, that you have no sense, so it's better you become trees. Trees don't have any sense. Instead of this exalted position in the heavenly worlds, become trees. And the boys, hearing this, came to their senses and begged Narada for forgiveness. Narada said, yeah, you'll get forgiven, but you'll have to wait time. Take the form of Arjuna trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, where Krishna will appear and he will deliver you. So the curse of Narad was actually a great boon to the sons of Kuvera, because it gave them the chance in future to have the darshan, the vision of Lord Krishna, and to be favored by him. So after that, Kuvera's two sons stood as two huge Arjuna trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj until Lord Damodar, to fulfill the desire of Narada, dragged the grinding mortar to which he was tied and pulled it between the two trees, violently causing them to violently fall down. And then out of the trees came Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who had, by being in Vrindavan, seeing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, being in the association of great devotees, in the form of trees, they had become repentant for their foolish activities, and they became great devotees of Krishna. So that's the background. And now to speak it in more detail, based on passages from Srimad Bhagavatam, with a translation by Srila Prabhupada, from Ananda Vrindavan Champu of Kavikarnapur, and from Gopal Champu, the chapter of Gopal Champu by Srila Jiva Goswami, which is called Damoda Vinodanumodanam, which means the bliss that we experience. We're experiencing anumodanam, we're experiencing the bliss by seeing the bliss of this pastime of Damodar. So who are we talking about? We're talking about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Doesn't seem like the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he's crawling about in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, but he is, and he establishes that in the Bhagavad Gita, and the whole Srimad Bhagavatam establishes that. And just prior to this, if we see the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, how the pastimes of Krishna unfold, so just prior to this, Krishna had shown his universal form to Mother Yashoda. When Mother Yashoda saw inside the mouth of Krishna, she saw the universal form, establishing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She herself started to think, well, maybe he is God, but her motherly love, the great devotee, we can't imagine how great she is, that even when she's presented with direct evidence that Krishna is the supreme Lord of all the universes, she doesn't believe it not out of atheism, but because her natural spontaneous love for Krishna just overwhelms any thoughts that could come in her mind that he might be the Supreme Lord. But we should understand and accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which makes the pastimes all the more sweeter, seeing how he becomes subservient to the love of his devotees. In the Bhagavatam, it's stated, Srila Prabhupada's translation, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving devotional love in parental affection. And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and the gopis, developed the culture of Krishna bhakti. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda had continuous, unswerving devotional love. That means ahaituki apratihata. The very definition of pure devotion given in the beginning of Bhagavatam is seen practically in the behavior, the beautiful devotional service of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda and Yashoda, the king and queen of Vrindavan. And all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis, especially the gopas and the gopis, there were others also, there are a few brahmanas also, mostly gopas, cowherd men, and their wives, and their male and their wives are gopis, and the male and female children are also called gopas and gopis. They all had natural spontaneous love for Krishna, but especially in the association of Mother Yashoda and Nanda, they developed the culture of Krishna bhakti more and 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 more. What was going on is that Krishna, very famously, is a thief, a butter thief. He's the Supreme Lord, but he steals butter, yogurt, and milk from the neighboring houses. In this way, Krishna harassed the neighbors, and they became upset. The women of the house, of the houses where Krishna stole. But it's all an exchange of love. Krishna stole from them. They were very happy, but externally they showed anger. Actually, they felt some anger internally. They felt like that because so much effort keeping the cows, they all have their own cows, getting the milk and then extracting the milk, making it into yogurt and then into ghee. And then Krishna just comes and steals it, or breaks the pots. So they were angry. At the same time, their pure love for Krishna was increasing more and more and more. This is not possible to understand without a very high level of God consciousness. It's not a matter of the brain so much, trying to understand rationally, but just it's a matter of love, how Krishna increased the love of the neighboring people by stealing from them. And in this way, by showing his childhood pastimes, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, their affection for him increased more and more, and the affection of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan for Krishna increased more and more and more. By stealing from their homes, Krishna made some kind of personal relationship with them. Their their affection for him increased more and more. He took personal notice of them. And Srila Prabhupada comments that persons who follow the activities of Vrindavan will also develop devotional service in the highest perfection. So these devotees of Vrindavan, they are our exemplars, they are our heroes and heroines, and we want to hear about them and follow in their footsteps to develop devotional service in the highest perfection. Krishna at this time was manifesting the characteristics of a child aged 2 years and just a little under 2 months. Krishna is eternal. He's the eternal personality of Godhead, but he goes through these pastimes, and this Damodar Leela is a very small boy, but of course, Krishna has all powers. And even in his earthly pastimes, he grew up very quickly, so to speak. At the age of 2 years, he was showing the prowess of a boy, quite older, but at the same time showing the mentality of a two-year-old boy. So it's a little complex, the psychology of God. His father, Nanda means bliss. He's very blissful as the king of the cowherds in Vraja. And his mother, Yashoda, she's seen as the queen, not official Kshatriya, king and queen, but they are seen like that because they're accepted as the leaders. Well, Nanda is accepted as the leader of the whole cowherd community in Vrindavan, and Yashoda, being the wife of Nanda, she is accepted as the queen of Vrindavan. And everyone respects Nanda and Yashoda. They have their very opulent household in the cowherd settlement. And Yashoda, as a typical housewife with many servants, a well-to-do housewife, she oversees all the affairs, tells all the maidservants what to do. They all respect her very much. And Nanda's brothers, Nanda and Yashoda's relations, they live all around in the same area. Nanda's house, Nandalai, spacious courtyards, beautiful gardens. In this whole house is in the center of the village of Gokul, and nearby flows the river Yamuna, deep blue, like Krishna. The Yamuna's waters are deep blue, blackish. Then around the house of Nanda Maharaj, in various places in the west, there's storehouses, granaries in the southern part, and then in the north, where huge stocks of thick milk, fresh butter, ghee, yogurt, the huge stocks are kept there. They're hung in big earthenware jars, hooked onto the ceiling with strong ropes. Monkeys, have to keep them away from the monkeys who might come and steal if you don't put them away. Of course, monkeys, they're very clever at climbing around here and there, but the hanging helps to keep them out of the hanging in such a way that the monkeys can't get to them as much as possible. To the north of Nanda's house is the residence that he made for Rohini, and she lives there with her son Balaram. And on the eastern side is the worshipable deity of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. There stands the temple of Narayana, Four Hands, the glorious, majestic, opulent form of the Supreme Lord. And throughout the day, he's worshipped there by Brahmanas. In the southwestern corner, in this square of buildings, is the long kitchen, and there's the various passages. It's a whole complex, just the house of Nanda Maharaj. And there's a path from the house, connecting the house to the main road through the village. And just on that path, connecting Nanda's house to the road of the village, just a little bit to the side of the road, there are two huge Arjuna trees, and they converge at the bottom so that their trunks form a V shape, just suitable for dragging a mortar in between them. Who would have thought of such a thing? They are called the Yamala Arjuna, the famous twin trees. The rainy season is over. The season is very pleasant. Everything is green all around due to plenteous rains. And it's just a few days before the Amavasya, the new moon day in the month of Damodar. And preparations are going on for a huge festival for worshipping Indra, in thanks to him for having sent the rains, on which everyone depends, and especially the cow herders. They need lots of rain, so there's lots of grass for their cows to eat. So they wanted to arrange, as they did every year at this time of year, a festival for worshipping Indra. All the women in the village are very busy. Usually they like to spend time with Yashoda, bring their own children, see beautiful Krishna. But now they're all busy in their own houses, making preparations for the big feast for offering to Indra. They want to be with Krishna. They're just so much drawn to go to the house of Yashoda so they can see Krishna. But due to having to prepare for the festival, they're busy in their own houses. Rohini and Balaram, it means Rohini was invited to the house of Upananda, Nanda's elder brother, one of his elder brothers. So Balaram had gone with Rohini in a neighboring village, and Nanda had seen them off. He'd taken Rohini with Balaram, and then Nanda had gone out to tend the cows. Just telling all of this to set the scene, how when Krishna was tied up, there were no other householders, women, owners of big houses who were peers of Yashoda. None of them were around as usual. Rohini and Balaram weren't around. Nanda wasn't around. And even Yashoda has many maidservants, young and older, many, 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 who are always eager to serve her. They love her. They love Krishna. They love Yashoda. And they don't want her to do any work. You relax. They love her, but they think that by serving Yashoda, they can also serve Krishna, and then she'll have more time. If we do all the work in the house, which that's what maidservants do, but let Yashoda be happy with Krishna, and then they will also be happy seeing Yashoda serve Krishna. And the maidservants are very happy to work hard because they're happy. It's the house of Nanda, whose happy bliss is the very meaning of his name. And with Krishna, everyone's very happy. And for everyone in Vrindavan, Krishna is the cynosure of everyone's eyes. He's their very life. Their joy increases at every moment by seeing Krishna and serving Krishna. Early in the morning, the maidservants come from their own little dwellings and they rush to go to work. Go to work means they don't see it as work. It's great, great joy for them. Their special task for some of the maidservants is to take the milk from the thick and somewhat cultured milk, a little sour, to take the cream from that to make ghee and to boil the milk from one special cow who is called Padmagandha, which means the scent of lotuses, because this special cow gives such beautiful, tasty milk. Mother Yashoda keeps that milk only for Krishna. And there are a few of Mother Yashoda's cows who give very beautifully flavored milk, and she feeds them all the best grasses so that the milk will become super delicious. And Mother Yashoda, she wanted to feed the best of the best of the best, milk and yogurt and ghee and butter and everything to Krishna. She wanted to do that out of love for Krishna. But she was also in some anxiety, thinking that, why is Krishna going to other people's houses and stealing their milk and yogurt? He doesn't like what I'm giving him. I have to make the effort to make the best of the best of the best. It's very embarrassing for Yashoda that Krishna goes out to steal from other houses. It gives the impression that what she's giving, Krishna doesn't like it. It's not good enough. Mother Yashoda has so many cows, thousands, thousands, thousands. And she wants to personally collect it, make it into yogurt, churn it into butter. She wanted to do it personally, because she thought, well, maybe the maids, they're good souls, but maybe they're just not making it properly. Why is it that Krishna's running off to other houses to steal? Now, for the maidservants, their outlook was they loved to churn the butter, knowing that Krishna would take it. They'd churn the milk and yogurt, knowing that Krishna would take it. And she doesn't want, and they don't want, that Yashoda would have to do it. They want that she can devote herself entirely all the time to Krishna. They know everything what to do. They know they're expert. They know how to clean the house. They know how to do all the aspects of cooking, everything. They know very well. And they have the service spirit. That's why they're residents of Vrindavan. Krishna, he inspires them to serve him. And it's a reciprocation. Krishna inspires their love. They serve Krishna. Krishna becomes pleased. The devotees become pleased more by seeing him. And in this way, those who are the servants in the house of Mother Yashoda, they have the opportunity to be a servant of the greatest devotee. And they simply want to serve Yashoda. However, on this particular day, Yashoda thought, I'm going to do the churning. I'm going to do it myself. And she's very heavy about it. She thinks, I got to do it. On this particular day, she thought, I don't want the maids to do it. I want to do it personally. And she sends them off. You go and do some other work. This, that. You go and do this. You go and do that. And far parts of the house or in the gardens. She, at this time, being inspired by Yoga Maya, the pastime potency of Krishna, she sends all the maids away so that she can be alone with Krishna, who's sleeping, and she is churning. The maids know that they have to do what Yashoda says. They love her. They respect her. But today she told them, you don't even come near. You go at some distance. Yashoda was being very heavy with them on this day. And they know that Yashoda, she'll overexert herself and become exhausted. And they, if they're close by, will come and very affectionately tell her, Ma, mother, you don't do that. We'll do it. You're becoming exhausted. Let us do it. And they'll practically force her to desist from doing this. So Yashoda thought, no, I want to do it. I want to serve Krishna in this way. If they're around, they'll stop me. So she sends them far away. She thought, yeah, I'll become tired, but let me become tired. They have to obey. So it's some kind of competition. Yashoda loves all the maids. They feel that love. And they want to relieve her of the hard work, but out of love and respect, they follow her orders. She sees Krishna on his bed, very solid bed with very soft linen. Krishna is lying there, so beautiful. Mother Yashoda sees him lying there asleep, a blue pearl or an emerald shining with his beautiful little tiny lotus eyes, quite closed and asleep, breathing. Mother Yashoda is so happy to see him, but she has to go to work. She just very gently, with her beautiful, soft hands, strokes him a little bit and situates him in the middle of the bed just in case he might fall off. Because, you know, as soon as he wakes up, he's a very active child. He might fall down. So she gets back to her work. The huge pot for churning the soured milk is already there. So she goes out on the veranda and starts churning the churning rope. And she can look at the milk, the yogurt, souring milk, and she can look to the side and see Krishna also. So she starts working very enthusiastically. And the scene is there with her sari is there, and she's jingling, her bracelets are jingling, her garments are moving, seeing her son's face with her eye, his eyes sometimes slowly opening a little and closing. Beautiful queen of the gopis, Yashoda is churning and churning, and at the same time singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that it was formerly a custom that if you want to remember something constantly, you describe it in poetry or have that done by a professional poet. So Mother Yashoda, she didn't want to forget Krishna's childhood activities at any time. Therefore, she put in poetry the childhood pastimes of Krishna, the killing of various demons, Putana, Aghasura, Shakatasura, Churnavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities. Srila Prabhupada says that this should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. Sing about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes, this incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yashoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. So she's singing to herself. She's seeing Krishna is sleeping, and she wants that he will sleep a little longer than usual, because she thinks, let him sleep, he's a young boy. When he's up, he's so active. So let him sleep more. It's good for growing children. Let them sleep. Otherwise, he'll be very tired. And she sings. Some sample of that singing is given in Gopal Champu by Srila Jiva Goswami. Gokula patikula tilak tvamasiha krita sukrita vraja rachita sukha vraja nayana nanda samiha. O you who are the ornament on the head of the family of the Lord of Gokul, you who are the wealth of happiness, the fruit of happiness, you are the sukriti, the virtue of the people of Vraja. You are the personified virtue of the people of Vraja. Because of their pious activities, you were born among them. Yourself, your play, you give joy to our eyes. Because of you, everyone and everything in Vraja is simply happy. Anandod bhava janma mahotsava nandita gopa samaja putanikya amriti nava mangala kriti valayata gokula raja. The cowherd people were blissed out, just in bliss. It gave them great bliss to celebrate your birthday, the celebration of your birthday. And after Putana died, the king of Gokul, means Nanda Maharaj, performed various auspicious rites just to protect you, Krishna. Dharya nivartana shakarta vivartanam anubhavyena parita satrina vartaka vayunivartaka parameshena nita. Losing patience, you upturned the cart. And then the Supreme Lord killed the Trinavarta whirlwind demon and returned you to us. Madhura prangana virachita ringana jalaja nayana supunya nana kelishu nritya kalalishu darshita varanai punya. Oh, you child whose eyes are full of water, teary-eyed child, charmingly crawling in the courtyard, you expert, playful dancer. Tarna kabala dhi shavalita tanvadhi valayata manjala shobha jarati nivahe kautaka kalahe pravalita mithyaloba. You hold on to the little tails of the calves, which are moving around. You catch onto it and run behind them in the dust, making a beautiful line in the dust. You're very witty in squabbling with the elderly gopis, lying to them, hiding yourself. When the women are angry with you due to your false greed. You don't really need all that stuff and all your pranks. Then what did they do? Ma mataram anusukam udvitanu pratatang satatang Krishna drutang urari kurutanu vridhing puru kelavali krita trishna. What did they do? They come running to me. Quick, 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 quick. They love you and they come to me complaining about you, but they're happy. So you, Krishna, you be happy by your play, stuffing yourself with all this stolen yogurt and butter. Tribhuvana darshan vismaya marshana nischita vaishnava maya hari vari vasya sukadatama syabhigata jara marakaya. Amazing. Very unusual. You showed me all the worlds, the three worlds, by the power, the maya of Vishnu. You showed it to me. May through our worship of Narayana, the Supreme Lord, may happiness and prosperity come to us. May you have an immortal body free from pain and illness. So like this, Mother Yashoda is singing as she churns, churns, churns. Krishna's waking up and looking, still pretending to be asleep. He sees her at a little distance, his mother. Ah, my mother. He loves his mother so much. She loves him so much. But his nature is to express his love in a crooked, crooked, crooked way. There's Mother Yashoda. She's dressed in a saffron yellow sari with a silk belt, tightening up her sari around her waist. And it's described she has very solid hips. She's late middle age, medium height. Her dress shines like a pale rainbow. She's darkish in complexion like Krishna, a little lighter than Krishna. And he sees her working hard, churning, churning, singing, working hard. Her bangles, there are bangles on her wrists, bangles on her arms, and the earrings, they're all moving backwards and forwards as she herself moves backwards and forwards, and her cloth is moving. She's putting a lot of energy into it. And her breasts are wet with milk because of love of Krishna. Just Krishna being close by, milk comes automatically from its breasts, from her breasts. Her face, very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and maliti flowers, which she'd put in her hair, were falling down due to her hard work. So I'm paraphrasing this. I'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport from the Srimad Bhagavatam, very beautiful purport. Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in maternal affection for Krishna. So setting the scene of how Mother Yashoda is churning the butter, Krishna is waking up, looking at her, just thinking what naughty thing he will do next. I'll finish there for now. Krishna willing, we can continue this discussion later. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo.